it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into another The Denver Sports Podcast. I'm Harrison.
Presented by Breckenridge Brewery, the beer of the month here at the DNVR bar, the Avalanche Amber Ale. You can get it here while it's hot, all month long, all February long. If you don't know where to get brew, check out their beer locator online. Tells you exactly where to get Breck Brew. Just type in your zip code. We got a lot to talk about on the Denver Sports Podcast. First of all, I'm joined by my cohort from the DNVR Nuggets Podcast, Brendan Vogt.
What's up, man? I almost did the air horns to start this show.
I wouldn't have been mad if you did.
Now, there we go. She just did it. I love it. Amazing. This is between the rundown and our hosts here, you really just get an extra Nugget show today, don't you?
Absolutely. We got a Nuggets game tonight. We got the pregame show in a couple hours, Nuggets Kings, but we got a lot to talk about on this episode of the Denver Sports Podcast because the Nuggets fan base, I feel like, is in a collective panic over a two-game losing streak. We're going to talk about if they're right or wrong for that. I don't want to tell fans how to feel, but I might. Also, Carmelo Anthony's talking about the Nuggets again.
He just can't stop, can he?
What is with this guy? So we'll talk about his latest comments. And also, Jamal Murray had some quotes to national NBA reporter Sam Amick about not making the All-Star team, which I found pretty interesting. So we will discuss those as well. But let's open this up with the Nuggets panic meter, because Denver has lost two straight games. They lost in Sacramento, the team they're playing tonight here, on the second half of a back-to-back last week. And then they lost in Milwaukee. And boy, did the Nuggets fan base go into a panic over a two-game losing streak. Two blowout losses. Two losses where the Nuggets have looked as bad as they've looked all season. What's your feeling on this? Should we be concerned? Are you concerned? Or is this just a random two-game losing streak in the middle of the season?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I don't think you can weigh any two results more heavily than all this group has done together. You know, this is a starting five that between last season and this have won most of their games, have won a title, have won 16-4. So taking any two results, no matter how bad they look, and finding that they have more weight than everything else, I think is frankly nonsense, right? But it's hard watching it not to feel like something is different. And I do think something is different. And I think this team just has a bit of a lower floor than last year. Mm-hmm. They have games where they play without any pride. They have games where they let go of the rope. And more of them than last year. So I'm not panicking, but I don't... There's a little... Would you say that you're 100% as convinced as you were last year this time that they're winning a title? Because I'm a little less sure. And I'm not sure if that has more to do with the Nuggets or the rest of the league, but I am a little less sure.
That's an interesting way you put it. Because this time last year, I felt like the Nuggets were for sure winning the championship.
You and I were... It's really easy to do this now after the fact.
Oh, we knew it. Yeah, we knew it.
But we really did. Honestly, off the air, Harrison and I, maybe more than anyone that year, we were saying, look, they're winning. And it was around this time. And I don't know if I'm... I think they're in the inner circle of contenders. But it doesn't feel like a certainty to me.
Which is weird because I feel like the same concerns we had last year are the same exact concerns we have this year.
It's a good counter.
The bench is non-existent. They only have five guys. I think they did have six with Bruce Brown last year, so that's maybe a difference. But and a lot of the issues that we talked about last year didn't really end up mattering, like the bench. But I would agree with you. I would agree with you when I say that I feel a little less confident right now that they're going to win the championship than I did last year.
Yeah.
But I do think part of that is expected. It's tough to go back to back.
That's the biggest part.
The competition this year, just in the Western Conference alone, Like, forget about the East. The Western Conference alone, I think, is tougher this year than it was last year. And they don't have Bruce Brown. They don't have a rock-solid sixth guy that they did last year. So I'd actually agree with you. Like, I'm not panicking at all. I said on the Nuggets show yesterday, my panic meter's at a zero. But I do feel slightly less confident than I did this time last year.
One thing that I've thought a lot about, and this isn't really a criticism of the team building at all, which I would never do after a team just won their first ever title, but I am more convinced than ever that, you know, while we've seen big twos and big threes, the Nuggets have a big five, and if they're missing one or two pieces, it's not going to look the same. Now, that's the case for almost every team.
Right.
Almost every team. But the Nuggets had a great run last year of health, right, which is essential to a title. And it could be something like that. It could be something like being a little less lucky at the wrong time, and you're not 100% of what you were last year, and the league's a little better. You know, there's a reason why it's statistically unlikely that any given team repeats. Having said all of that, though, they're in the inner circle of contenders.
Yeah,
they're right there, and I don't want to take two games and say this tells me more than what I've learned about this group.
Yeah, well, just looking at these two games, what I have come back to is that the NBA above everything is a war of attrition. Even last season, do you remember when the Grizzlies were neck and neck with the Nuggets?
Yes.
In the race for the one seed? Well, they got injuries.
Brandon Clark, right? I think was the first.
Yeah, Brandon Clark. Like, guys get injured. Guys get hurt. And a big reason why the Nuggets did win the championship is because they had great health. They did have great injury luck. And that, to me, is actually my main concern right now. The fatigue factor, the fact that the bench is so unreliable, it's meant you've had to play Aaron Gordon at backup center way more already than you did all last year. That stuff is what's concerning to me right now. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope tried to play through a hamstring injury the other night in Milwaukee. Why the hell was he out there?
Yeah, that I felt the same way. Even Jamal, too, if it, you know, obviously wasn't on the injury report, but it ends up being the shin stuff that keeps him out. You're like, does feel like the time at this point, man, don't push it. But they don't quite have, we've talked about this on the DNVR Nuggets show. They had a lot of headroom last year and they knew it.
Yeah.
And they don't right now. And I just, so all those things could factor into why it doesn't go quite the same way it did last year. I don't think they're too shallow. I think the depth thing can be overblown, particularly because in the playoffs, it doesn't really matter that much. But that, the way you framed it, like, we might, maybe they're a little less deep to the point where we need to see more AG at the five. KCP has to push it, and that stuff scares you.
Exactly. Like, I don't want Aaron Gordon to play any more minutes at backup center all season.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's a close game. I don't care if it's like a playoff atmosphere. I don't want him to play any minutes at backup center the rest of the year because it's taxing. And he didn't last year. And he was, as a result, I think, fresh enough to play that backup center in the playoffs to full capacity. Like, I don't want KCP playing if he's not 100% the rest of the year.
Yeah.
And the fact that the bench is so unreliable, that means that Michael Malone might feel forced into doing those things. And so that is my real one concern about this team.
It does feel like at this point in the year compared to last, there's even less confidence in Zeke and DeAndre. And
well, I mean,
not Zeke, that there Zeke, should be. I'm just saying it's but to the point you were just making.
You're right.
There's been more instances of Malone looking around and going, F it, playoff rotation. And that, you don't want too much of that down the stretch.
Yeah. So the All-Star break, I think, is coming at a good time. Denver absolutely needs it. I think this was a team in Milwaukee that was looking ahead to the All-Star break. Now, they're at home tonight, so I think they'll refocus a little bit just because you're at home. You just play better at home. It's easier to lock in. And the Kings are on a back-to-back tonight. But the All-Star break is coming at a time that it feels like this team needs it.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's hit a quick break. Lots more to get to on the other side here. Carmelo Anthony is doing more podcasts and talking about the Nuggets more and more. Is he purposely severing his ties with the city of Denver.
Unreal.
I don't know. It feels like he might be. We'll talk about that on the other side, as well as Jamal Murray on why he's cool with not making the All-Star game. Guys, the NBA season is in full swing. When I can't get enough of the action on the court, I spice things up betting with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official partner of the NBA right now. New customers can bet $5, get $200 instantly in bonus bets right now. Let me see what the line looks like for tonight's game. Nuggets hosting the Kings. Second night of a back-to-back. Denver might have a couple guys out. Like, I doubt Jamal Murray or KCP play tonight.
Same.
Nuggets are still minus -6, though.
All right.
That's a Jokic line. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code DNVR. New customers can bet $5 on the NBA. Get $200 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code DNVR. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY. Text HOPE-NY to 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problems with gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino Resort. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after a certain dkng.com/basketball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Also, make sure to check out Factor Meals. If you don't have time to cook, you got to check out Factor Meals. They taste great. They're super easy to make. You just pop them in your microwave for 2 minutes, and they're good to go. It tastes like you're eating a home-cooked meal. It does not taste like a store-bought, refrigerated, or frozen thing. It takes just 2 minutes. They also have snacks, smoothies, a lot more as well. Perfect for people with hectic schedules. If you work a lot, if you don't have time to cook, these are perfect for you. Go to factormeals.com/DNVR50, factormeals.com/DNVR50 to get 50% off at factormeals.com/DNVR50. All right, back here on the Denver Sports Podcast, Harrison Wynn and Brendan Vogt. Carmelo Anthony keeps doing podcasts. He keeps talking about the Denver Nuggets. This latest thing happened on Dwayne Wade's podcast. Why does every athlete need a podcast?
They all have one.
Why, too many people have podcasts, you know?
That's what I've always said. If there could just there be fewer too many podcasts people in
this
world
that have podcasts.
Where do these people get off thinking?
But anyways, he went on Dwayne Wade's podcast, and Carmelo Anthony said that he actually never requested a trade from the Nuggets, and he never requested a trade from the Knicks or to the Knicks. He never wanted to go to the Knicks. The Knicks were never the team that he had his mind set on going to. I don't really want to get into the minutiae of what he said. He also said, like, oh, he actually was maybe going to go to the Lakers for Andrew Bynum. Maybe he was going to go to the Jazz. George Karl wanted him to go to the Jazz for Derek Favors. Yada, yada, yada. Why, in your opinion, this is what I actually want to ask you about. Why, in your opinion, is Carmelo Anthony addicted to talking about the Nuggets and his legacy in Denver and why he's no longer there? Why does he keep bringing this up on at every turn?
I mean, obviously I'm projecting and guessing, you know, speaking for the guy, but Carmelo's New York legacy is not this cemented, celebrated. There were a fun couple of years. I was there in Jersey. I was there. I remember people getting excited about the Knicks. People might already have more trust and belief and find more joy in Jalen Brunson and the Knicks than they did in Carmelo. Honestly, they might. And now that it's all over, for as much as Carmelo excelled as a scorer and was this top pick and generationally talented scorer and all these things that were true and apt descriptors of his game, the legacy isn't, I mean, he's no city sweetheart. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame for sure, but he didn't win. He's not, you know, he didn't really emerge as the best prospect in that draft. So I think all of a sudden you look around and it's, what is the Melo story, you know?
Yeah.
And he might want it to be Denver. He might want it to be Denver more than we realized, maybe more than he realized at the time. But to me, this is a guy who wants to still be relevant in the hearts and minds of these fans.
It's interesting to me that we first started hearing from Carmelo again after the Nuggets won a championship.
Yeah, that's a good point.
We did not hear about the number 15 thing, which was a couple months ago. We did not hear about how, oh, I never demanded a trade from the Nuggets. We did not hear about any of this until Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets won a championship. And I think that Carmelo Anthony is suddenly seeing his Nuggets legacy and what he meant to this organization dwindle and dwindle and lessen as Nikola Jokic has become the best player in the NBA, as he's won a championship, and as he's become for once and forever the face of this organization. And I got to think that has Carmelo thinking a certain type of way.
I think it does. And honestly, as we're talking about it, you know, I know he didn't play for 100 teams, but you know how there are some superstars who you go, who are their stands? Who are their diehards? Like their personal fans? Or what, maybe more accurately, what city claims them? Kevin Durant is arguably the highest profile example, right? Who everyone knows Durant's great. Who claims Durant as theirs from a fan perspective?
Yep.
Melo's got a bit of this, man. Is he an all-time Nick? Not really. Is he still an all-time Nugget? As you said, that's at risk of dwindling and being washed away. And so, you know, maybe that stuff is important to him, but he does seem to be mentioning it a lot. He does seem to be mentioning the Nuggets a lot.
I mean, we never heard from him. I mean, you never had a podcast, but...
Well, that's true.
There was plenty of ways to say this stuff, not via a podcast.
I have another bone to pick with him, too. As I've mentioned, chat, I'm from New Jersey. Carmelo Anthony...
You went to Ithaca.
I went to Ithaca. Yeah. What? Carmelo Anthony, who talked about, you know, maybe there was some noise when he go to the Nets. He said, and he told them, I'm not going to New Jersey, though. If it was in Brooklyn next year, I would be there. Yeah. I can't play at the Prudential Center, champ. I'm sorry, Carmelo. Are you above the New Jersey Nets?
He thinks he is, yeah.
They've been to a finals. I don't know, man. Not that I love the Prudential Center or the New Jersey Nets, but this one kind of irked me. I'm like, oh, are you too big to play in New Jersey? Excuse me?
He thought he was, for sure.
I don't know, man. A lot of miscalculations, in my opinion, about just how big Carmelo was.
So the other thing with this is, like I said, I feel like he senses that his importance to the Nuggets is fading and has faded with Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets winning a championship. And part of this is he wants to remind Nuggets fans that it was actually me that revived this franchise from nothing. And he's right in that. I mean, he absolutely did. The Nuggets were nothing before Carmelo Anthony came here.
True.
So he has something in that regard. But I also do wonder if he's making a slight heel turn here, and maybe he's accepted that he's not getting his jersey retired, and he's kind of doubling down on this stance of, Nuggets fans, it wasn't me that kind of wanted out of Denver. It was like the organization's fault. And I actually wonder if part of him is trying to like double down on this and say, like, I wanted to be Mr. Nugget, but it was the organization that was in the wrong here. Because the longer this stuff has gone on, I don't think Carmelo Anthony is getting his jersey retired anymore.
Yeah.
I think that ship has actually sailed. Before this latest string of comments, before the number 15 thing, which I actually think Melo was kind of right about. I actually do think that the Nuggets gave 15 to first Anthony Randolph and then Nikola Jokic to kind of spite him and to kind of push him away and to kind of try to erase his legacy. I do think he was right there. Before that and before this recent one, I do think there was a path to reconciliation. Mm. I don't think there is anymore. I actually don't, because what I know about like Nuggets management and Josh Kroenke is he's still very sensitive to these things. He's very sensitive to the whole melodrama thing, what had happened. He's very sensitive to how it went down. Some of his first days on the job were Carmelo Anthony going to him and demanding a trade to the Knicks. I think that stuff is still very fresh in his mind. And so after all these events, I actually don't think he's getting his jersey retired. And I think there was a path to that happening before kind of this last 6 months. I don't think there is anymore. I really don't.
There's also a there's a point in time where also just to be, you know, full transparency, I wasn't here for the Melo years, so I have like all of the clown on Melo after the fact stuff and none of the childlike wonder that you got, you know, many of you saw him and held him in. And so that's not really there for me. So yeah. I'm kind of the wrong guy to ask a little bit, but I do think it's possible that the further we get from this moment in time where, yeah, retiring both of their jerseys makes sense. Jokic has gotten so much better since that conversation started. By the time he hangs it up, it might actually look ridiculous to hire them to hang them up next to each other.
Yeah.
Like, ridiculous.
Well, now it would be a thing where if it happened, you'd have to retire Jokic's, and then, like, 10 years later,
right.
You do Melo's.
But you can, like, you can't put them both up at the same time.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Jokic's resume is so much better, so superior. So there is a little bit of the further this goes, I wonder if Jokic takes this conversation off the table just through his play.
Yeah. I think there's some of that too. I think that could be the case, but I just think under this ownership, under the Kroenke ownership, I don't think Carmelo Anthony's jersey will get retired based off what he said over the last several months. I just kind of think it's come and gone.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. Let's hit another break. On the other side, Jamal Murray made some comments to Sam Amick about not making the All-Star game, which I thought was very interesting. And I want to talk about those on the other side here. DNVR events, guys. If you are a DNVR diehard, you get discounts to all our events. It's the perfect time to sign up and be a diehard. It's the perfect time to become one. You get discounts on our takeovers. You get discounts at the bar. You get discounts at our tailgates when we do those as well. So you can go to thednvr.com, become a DNVR diehard. It's like $7 a month, billed annually. And you get so many benefits that if you are a diehard DNVR sports fan, you got to become a DNVR diehard. You can, like I said, get discounts at the takeovers, discounts at the bar, tons of events that we do. So if you want more information, go to thednvr.com. You can click right there on how to become a diehard. It's the move. If you are a diehard Denver sports fan. Also, if you want tickets to concerts, shows, sporting events, make sure to check out the Game Time app. You can use code DNVR to sign up and get $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply, but again, create an account, redeem code DNVR for $20 off your first purchase. Concerts, shows, sporting events, Game Time is your go-to ticket site. Last minute tickets, lowest prices, guaranteed. They got deals on tickets right up to the start of the event and even an hour after it starts. It's the place to find last minute seats. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use code DNVR for $20 off your first purchase. All right, back here on the Denver Sports Podcast, Harrison Wind and Brendan Vogt. Jamal Murray didn't make the All-Star game this year. And, you know, he still hasn't made it in his career, although it was a stated goal of his this year. And even Michael Malone said it at the onset of the season that they wanted, you know, Jamal Murray to make the All-Star game. Nikola Jokic has still not played with an All-Star, which I kind of love as a stat. But
I know
he just did an interview, Jamal Murray did, with Sam Amick. That piece, I believe, was published this morning. And he had a quote in there that I thought was interesting. He said, quote, "I'm an all-star when you need the all-star to show up in the playoffs. I haven't made it, and I'm a champion, and I'm on the best team in the world playing with the best player in the world." But the first sentence of that, I thought, was the real take-home piece here. I'm an all-star when you need an all-star to show up. I think partly he's 100% correct, because in the finals, in the playoffs, he absolutely is an all-star. He absolutely is, you know, one of the top 24 players in the league. He's like a top 10 player in a playoff environment. The part I don't think he's correct is because the Nuggets have needed him to show up as an all-star at times this season, and he actually hasn't. Like the other night in Sacramento, when Nikola Jokic had like 23-7, nobody played well, but Jamal Murray had 12 points. Or the other night, a couple weeks ago in Oklahoma City, when he had 16 points on 6 of 14 shooting. So I don't know what you think, but I think Jamal Murray is both right and wrong in this.
Yeah, I like that he has that perspective because it is true in the ways that do matter. They went 16-4 on the way to the title, and he was damn good.
Yeah.
And in a way that a lot of guys who a lot of people would take over Jamal might never do, might not even be capable of. And you just, there's no way around that. I do think, though, you know, and I don't know how much of it there was this year from Jamal or us or the fans or any of it, but we're probably in agreement on this. We probably don't need any hand-wringing over Jamal not making all-star teams because he hasn't done enough to
make
it.
It wasn't close. He wasn't close to making it this year.
And he missed the games this year, which matters, so I'm not. But he just isn't—he just hasn't been an all-star caliber player in the regular seasons. That's just never who he's been in his career. And whether that's something that's under his control or not, whether that's something you blame him for or not, it's just the way that it is. It's acceptable as long as he shows up in the playoffs, more than acceptable. But, I mean, we do just have to acknowledge, you know, Jamal hasn't been snubbed from any of these all-star teams. Jamal just hasn't made them, you know?
Yeah. And, I mean, there have been countless games this year where the Nuggets could have really used an all-star version of Jamal Murray. The all-star version that shows up in the playoffs.
Yeah, as you were talking, I kind of realized that it's a bit unfair, but to me, you see it most in the non-Jokic minutes, whether he misses a game or it's Murray plus bench. And there are other all-stars who, yeah, you might not win that game that night or those minutes, but they're going to look different. You're going to take control. You're going to look like a star with that unit. And to be honest, I don't think Murray really ever has in the non-Jokic minutes. And yeah. So that's where you kind of see it manifest, right? And yeah, there are moments in the regular season where he just doesn't bring it. And that is part of his reputation too.
And part of his reputation is he always does bring it in the playoffs. And we do have the utmost confidence that he will bring it in the playoffs. But I mean, part of being an all-star is like playing at that level every night during the regular season as well.
Consistency. Yeah. And I think it's what holds the Nuggets back, not from going 16-4 en route to a title, which is what matters. But, I mean, we like to joke, is this year the Nuggets will win 60-plus games? Is this the year that they go on the 12-game win streak? And they're not going to do that if Jamal doesn't make that specific leap.
Right.
But they can still win titles, and that is what everyone's after.
I agree, because that is, in my opinion, the one thing separating the Nuggets from winning 73 games, from going on a double-digit win streak, a 15-game win streak. Because if Jamal Murray plays at an all-star level, the Nuggets are unbeatable.
That's it.
If Jamal Murray plays great, the Nuggets aren't losing that night.
Nope.
Because part of what this regular season has also made me appreciate even more is Nikola Jokic's greatness. The guy just has a historic night every night.
Every night, man.
And when you look at like Jamal Murray, Aaron Gordon, Michael Porter Jr., great players. Fringe all-star guys. But it's so clear the level between that and Nikola Jokic, man.
Yes.
Like that is like something that this season has made me realize.
They're a great starting five. They fit together magnificently. This is about Jokic, right?
Right.
This is what Jokic is the reason why they're a starting five that is better potentially again this year than anyone else in the world.
Yeah.
And I think it was the eye injury, especially juxtaposed with the stuff that Embiid was going through, which again, serious injuries. I mean, those things do happen to Joel Embiid. And if you're Sixers fans, you buckle down for him missing lengthy periods of time. And with Jokic, he like loses his eyesight. He gets jabbed in the eye so hard he needs treatment. And it was never really a question if he was going to play the next game.
Not even the next night, the next half.
Yeah, thank you. And
he came out in the third quarter down double digits, I think, and still played.
Yeah, that's the stuff where you go, man. It's we all say we don't take him for granted. It's impossible. It's impossible not to, because there's only one yoke.
Yeah. Guys, real quick, got to shout out Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. The beer of the month here at the bar is the Avalanche Amber Ale. You can get it right downstairs. I think I see somebody sipping on Avalanche Ale right now.
Sounds good.
On tap. Tons of Breck Brew here on tap at the bar as well. If you don't know where to get Breck Brew, check out their beer locator. Just type in your zip code at breckbrew.com. Shows you exactly where to get Breck Brew. The presenting sponsor of this show, Breckenridge Brewery. Get it here at the bar. Get it wherever they sell Breckenridge Brew. This is a question I got on Twitter from my guy Craig. Thought it was interesting. I want to get your take on it. He asks, why don't the supporting stars, Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr., score more points in such an offense-heavy league? MPJ has never had 40-plus.
Yeah.
Jamal Murray has four in the regular season, four games of 40-plus in the regular season. With Nikola Jokic, who is willing to pass up his shot, it seems like it should happen more. Doesn't it?
It does. It does.
Especially when, like, Karl-Anthony Towns is getting 60, 70 points.
But don't you think that part of it is... it is that Denver's offense, it always feels like someone scoring like 50 to 60 feels like that would mean the offense was unhealthy and someone had to save it. Yeah. I think there are some offenses where your best bet at beating the other elite offenses are one of your players gets hot and you just ride that hand all night.
Yep.
When you have Jokic on the floor, you can almost always get a better shot than just a heat check from the hot hand. And I think... first of all, Porter's conditioned himself not to do this, and to not get benched by Malone, right?
Yeah.
He's taught himself very much to keep himself in check to the point where he may never score 40 points in a Nuggets uniform.
Nuggets just won't allow him to. It's not possible.
Jamal's the same way, right? Like, he can get cooking. It can be a Jamal night. But at some point in the night, he's going to look over and see Jokic and go, like, me cooking can also just be an assist or a good two-man play and not necessarily me scoring. Because and that's when you strip all the extra stuff away when you get down to the playoffs, Denver's trump card is 15s on the floor. We're getting a good look in a way that no other team can guarantee themselves. And I actually think that prevents them from needing to go, you know, for 50, 60. That comment says, why is our offense ranked 12th or whatever? Good question. I think there are answers. They're bad in transition this year, and they're terrible with Jokic off the floor.
I think that's the biggest one.
And they're terrible.
Bench sucks.
But half court with Jokic on the floor, it's always going to be an elite offense.
Oh, yeah.
And that is a good question, though.
Yeah. The only reason the offensive numbers aren't as high this year is because of what you said, but mostly because they can't score without Jokic.
Yeah.
That was the same last year, but I think it's worse this year.
Yeah.
The guys not scoring 40, to get back to that, I think most of all, it's a product of how the Nuggets play.
Right.
And you kind of hit on this. I think, in a way, the Nuggets are above that.
I that's what I feel, yeah.
They've matured past, like, guys having 40, 50-point nights, which sounds crazy, but... I think this is actually a commendable quality about the Nuggets is, like, I actually don't think Jamal Murray wants or feels a need to go for 40 points. I actually believe that part of his mindset, part of how he plays the game, he's kind of learned from Nikola Jokic. And I do think part of his mindset is just how do I like play in a style that's beneficial for everybody. How do I get my guys going? How do I set others up? I think he's constantly thinking about those things as well. So when it comes to him, I think he's grown beyond chasing 40-point games.
Yeah.
Now, you could also say, man, if he had a couple more 40-point games, maybe a couple of the Nuggets' losses turned to wins.
Right. There's a flip side is there's a handful of the games where the Nuggets showed up with no interest of playing Nuggets basketball.
Yeah.
And those would have been welcome times for someone to get hot.
But I do think generally his mindset is thinking about how do I run this team effectively, not how do I get 40 points.
I agree with that. And again, there's like what's the stronger voice in the back of your head? Heat check this or, man, that's Jokic over there. I should probably just get him the ball. Yeah. And I think the latter thought wins out a lot.
Jamal Murray from 3 years ago when he went for 47.
With no, oh, Boston?
48 against Boston, 47. That is a different Jamal Murray than I think the Jamal Murray of today.
Yeah.
I think he has matured beyond trying for those nights. I actually do.
And I love taking this same point and making it about Jokic. We're in this era where, you know, the peaks are insane. You had 2 70-point games that also featured a 60-point game elsewhere in the league. Two nights like that within the same week. Everyone's scoring. The numbers are juiced. And I love that a guy who's in favorite to an MVP right now hasn't really gone anywhere near 70 points in Jokic. Because as cool as those are to watch and impressive as they are, I don't know if they're actually the signs of, like, the healthiest offense in the world. Remember, like, Kobe scored his 81 because that team was, like, I don't know, they needed him to. Yeah. And I think Denver's above it is a good way to frame it. At their best.
Right. So, yeah, that was an interesting question. Thanks for sending that along, Craig. I think we have a super chat that I want to get to here before we get out of here. This comes from our guy, Nikola Nuggets. Of course, Melo's too big for Brooklyn. He's born and raised in Manhattan. False. He believes that. Get weird. Carmelo Anthony actually... was born in Brooklyn, but raised in some of his life in Baltimore.
And then the Syracuse, so it bounced around, but he was born in Brooklyn. But yeah. No, my point actually, and we appreciate the super chat, was that he thought he was too big for New Jersey. Shake my head. Unbelievable.
was it Melo who walked into probably Prudential Center when he was playing the Nets, and they had the little mini version of what Barclays Center would look like? Oh, no, I think that was Deron Williams. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do now.
And
actually,
he was playing
yeah.
against the Nets, and they set up like the model of what Barclays Center was going to look like in Brooklyn.
Oh man!
And he like turned and looked at it as he was walking in. He was like, "Ooh,
dude, they really thought that was going to be something." That team,
yeah.
God, Deron Williams. Well, I wonder what did he just not care? Did he just not did you know what I mean? Because he was an elite guard.
Deron Williams?
Yeah. And then he had a real chance to like turn a corner with some good teams and he was like, yeah.
I think the injuries also got to him early on. But to go back to that super chat, he was born in Brooklyn, yes. But I always find it funny how Melo claims New York when he like spent a lot of his childhood and growing up years in Baltimore.
Yeah, I do think people love to claim New York. There are a lot of people.
I was born in New York. I don't claim it.
I was born in New York as well, but I lived.
You kind of claim it a little bit.
I have to always stop myself though, because then real New York people are like, "Dude, you live in Jersey. Settle down." And there's something to that.
Yeah,
that's like the people in Boston who's like, their uncle lived in a suburb like an hour and a half away from the city, and they're like, "Yeah, I'm from Boston." I'm sure you are.
guys, thanks for tuning in. And girls, that's all the time we got for today. Nuggets host the Kings tonight. We'll have the pregame show coming up. We'll have hopefully a winner's lounge coming up.
Please.
So we'll talk to you later tonight. But thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Denver Sports Podcast. I believe we'll be back sometime next week with another guest, another set of topics. Thanks to Tiff for producing. We'll talk to you guys then. Y'all silly like the mayor.